And then I'm going to ask you, if you will, to hold your Bibles open, because I'm going to read you a bunch of more Scripture as we go along tonight and go a little bit, maybe a little bit slower than usual. Hope so. Psalm 28. I'm going to preach to you tonight about one of the puzzling problems of mankind that men have always worried about, and what I call it is the silence of God. And that is, if there's a God in heaven, why don't we ever hear anything from Him? That's the way the world looks at it tonight. God's there, and how come this? How come that? How come the other? Why'd this happen? Why didn't that happen? That's been a problem for man for many, many years, and I want to preach to you about it tonight, and hopefully help you understand it a little bit better. Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto Thee, when I lift up my hands toward Thy holy oracle. Now David was saying here in verse 1, Lord, when I call you, would you please answer your phone? God, when I knock, would you please open the door? Lord, don't shut me out. Lord, don't cut me off. Lord, don't hide your face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. This has been one of the main problems of people for many, many years. In times of difficulty, people say, if there is a loving Heavenly Father like you Christians say they are, why is He silent? Why did He allow this baby to be born and then maybe die or something terrible happened to it? Disastrous explosions, floods, wars, accidents. I mean, if God's really there, why did this happen? Or why did something terrible? There's been a lot of people have lost what little bit of faith in God they had because something terrible happened, and they prayed and it didn't change, and they thought, well, there couldn't be a God or He wouldn't be doing me like this. And the reason is, even as sorry and low down as I am, wouldn't do somebody like He's doing me, so He couldn't exist because of this. We call that the silence of God. The infidel argues that there's no God from that argument and standpoint. The devil will do everything in his power to try to discourage us and tell us that God is not paying attention. If everybody in here would be honest tonight, if you'd be honest, there's been times in your life when it crossed your mind, I wonder if God's even listening to me. Why don't God hear my prayer? Why don't God speak to me once again? Especially if you've had to go through a valley or a trouble or trial where it's been a long time since you felt really the presence of God, boy, you can begin to wonder, why is God so silent? Why does not God just speak? Have you ever wondered that? How come God don't just talk to us and tell us? Well, tonight I want to try to answer that question. Mankind has a threefold answer to this problem. And I'm not talking about Christian wives right now. I'll give you that in just a minute. But the answer that mankind gives to God being silent is, first of all, what we call deism. Now, deism means this. That means God is God, and there is a God, but He is a supernatural being that created everything and then went off somewhere in outer space and left it, and He is not interested in what's going on down here on this planet. There's a lot of people believe that. They say there had to be a creator, no doubt about that. And if you really start thinking about it, you've got to admit there's got to be a creator. There's got to be. Let me tell you something I heard the other night that was a real blessing. Now, everybody, if anybody thinks they've got to know there's a God. Brother Jim White was preaching down there the other night, and he's telling about some illustration that he's heard. And he said he said this was true. You can correct me if I'm wrong. He said, God is so manifest in creation that you can go out and pick an ear of corn off of any corn stalk in your garden this summer. And he said there will always be an even number of rows of corn on every single ear, made by divine plan of God. He said there may be 24 or 26 or 28 or 30, but there'll always be an even number. He said that if you take a grain like wheat, and he said you can count the grains in a wheat. He said that if you take a normal wheat harvest, it would be here. Then there's a lower wheat harvest. Then there's a bumper crop of wheat harvest. If you have a bad year of wheat harvest, he said, like a bad year, he said there will be approximately 28 to 32 grains of wheat, around 30 grains of wheat in the wheat in a sorry crop. But he said if you have a normal crop of wheat, he said there will be between 58 and 62, right around 60 grains of corn in a wheat. But he said if you have a bumper crop of wheat, and he said, you just have a tremendous year and a great crop. There will be 98 to 102 grains of wheat in the wheat stalk. And he said, that's what God meant when he said, some will bring forth 30-fold, some will bring forth 60-fold, and others will bring forth 100-fold. And who knows? I don't know. That's what he said. But I tell you, it sounded good to me. Because that is what God said when he talked about that wheat crop. We talked in here Wednesday night about that there being a God. He said that, we studied Wednesday night, the Bible said the seeing eye and the hearing ear. I don't know if we got to that verse, did we? It said the Lord hath made them both. Do you realize tonight that on the front of your face you have a camera equipped with a developing process and lens that no camera, Nikon or nobody like Canon or anybody else can invent. Listen to that. Your eyes can take 20,000 pictures a day, develop them immediately in full color, three-dimensional, and bring any one of them back and look at them anytime you want to look at it. Just like that. Watch this. Think of your house. You see that color picture right then? Think of what color your car is. See? There ain't no camera company in the world. Them Japs can't even invent one that'll do that. I'm telling you tonight, brother, you've got on your face tonight, watch this. I've got lens in here tonight that'll focus on that flower 10 inches and that wall 70 feet away just like that without any adjusting. You know, I don't look at them and say, and have to zoom and focus on that door back there. I'm focused on the door. I'm focused on the floor. I'm focused on this microphone right here. I'm focused on the ceiling, just like that. The seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. Now listen, the people that invent these little cameras and those lens and all that stuff, so here's automatic focus, here's that. That's great that you realize that your two eyes tonight can take 100,000 pictures in a week and just develop them just like that. And these people are trying to tell you that that is an accident, that it came out of nothing from nowhere, that there's no God. No way, brother. No way. Them cameras ain't near as complex as your eyes. And somebody had to make them cameras. Somebody had to make your eyeballs too. The seeing eye, the hearing ear. I was really going to give you a miracle there, wasn't I? The hearing ear. Listen, you ever thought about what a miracle your ears is or are? Have you ever thought about it? Do you know tonight that you... All right, close your eyes. Everybody in here, close your eyes. Close them now. No peeping. Are you peeping, John? No peeping. All right, somebody tell me what this sound is. Now, no peep now. What is that? You can look. Clap now. How'd you know that? Have you ever thought about what a miracle that is? Everybody close your eyes. Tell me what this sound is. Ha-choo! Alright? What was that? Alright? Have you ever noticed that? Did you know that nearly anybody in here can close your eyes and tell the difference between a dime and a quarter hitting the floor? the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the Lord hath made them both. Boy, I'll tell you what, God, there's got to be a God. There's got to be a God. There's got to be a God tonight. Our problem is, where is He? Our problem is, what happens to Him when we're in trouble? Our problem's not knowing that. Deism says there is a God, but He's just a supernatural being, not interested in our affair. Atheism says the silence of God proves there is no God. Materialism, the third reason is that we run the world by the people, for the people, and of the people, and leave God out totally, and that's wrong. You and I know that there is a God. Why should we take the silence of God? I've had people come to me and they'll say, "Preacher, I have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing has happened in my situation." How do you explain that? I've heard people say, "I have lived for God and done my very best. And now look at the trouble or the mess that I am in." Many times it seems like God has just gone far off and forgotten all about us. There's a verse over in the book of Job. You don't have to turn to it. I'll give it to you right quick. In Job 23:3. And he said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat." Have you ever wondered that? Oh, God, if I just knew how I could get to You. God, if I just knew how I could get through, it would be great. When we were trying to decide about building this building here, I remember days and weeks, and I mean, for it seemed like forever, I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I said, "God, please show me. God, please show me." God didn't say nothing. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. I said, "God, please, will You show me?" It seemed like the Lord didn't say nothing. It matter of fact, it seemed like God never did say nothing, hardly, until we made that step of faith and started, and then He kind of just gives you the nudge that you're going right and blesses you. But sometimes God is silent. Now I want to give you five ways quickly tonight as a Christian that we can view the silence of God. This may help you sometime, so you might want to write it down. Come back and check it out some other time. There is five views as a Christian tonight that we can view the silence of God. Now, if you just got saved and all your prayers are being answered and God's sitting right beside you tonight, and hallelujah, you ain't going to feel like you need this very much. But if you've ever gone through them dark valleys and you've ever went through times when you couldn't feel God or find God, then of course you realize how much you need it. Now, in the Word of God, we see first of all, what, as a Christian, what's called a common sense view. Common sense. Common sense means that sometimes God is silent in our lives because of deliberate sin on our part. We just ain't doing what we're supposed to do, and therefore God does not hear us when we pray nor answer us. Is there Bible support for this view? Sure there is. Look in Psalm 66 and verse number 18. Psalm 66 and verse number 18. If you want to turn to it, most of you know what it is anyway. Most of you know Psalm 66, 18. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." He did not say, "If I'm not perfect, God will not hear me." He said, "If I regard iniquity." That means if a person deliberately keeps sin in their life and they don't even try to get rid of it, they don't even confess it, they keep a pet sin in their life and pamper it and it don't even bother them and they don't even try to get the victory over it, that will cause God just to back off of your life and not even speak to you or have fellowship with you till you're willing to get that sin right. I know a reason a lot of God's silent in a lot of people's life. They got sin in their life and won't confess it. Amen? Now, of course, we understand that that's very simple. And I know that bothers some of you. Like that lady come to a preacher over there and quoted a part of a verse over in 1 John. And she went up there and she said, "Preacher, the Bible's not true." He said, "Ma'am, how do you come you say that?" She said, "Don't the Bible say if we ask anything according to... if we ask anything in His name according to His will, He heareth us?" And the preacher said, "It sure does." And she said, "Well, I prayed and prayed for something and it didn't happen. That means the Bible's not true." He said, "Ma'am, you didn't read the last part of that verse that she was quoting over in 1 John that said, we know that we have whatever we ask of Him Because we keep His commandments, if we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. She missed that part. In other words, we have no right, hear me, we have no right to expect God to hear us and answer our prayers if we are not trying to walk according to His will and let His will be done and order our steps in the Word of God. We have no right to just say, I'm living like a devil, but God, you better answer my prayer. God will not answer and bless you and talk to you in your life if you're deliberately walking against His will. I know there's nobody perfect. I understand that. I'm talking about deliberate sin, harboring it in your life and not even trying. I've heard people say, well, I know I do this all the time and it's a sin, but God knows it and ain't no use me trying. If you're doing something that you know is wrong, see, you listening to me? If you're doing something you know is wrong, then it ought to be bothering you and you ought to be praying and confessing and doing everything in your power to try to get that thing out of your life. Now, I know sin is powerful. And I know you can get it out of your life today and it'll be back tomorrow. And I know, but I'll tell you what, get it out again tomorrow. And if it comes back day after tomorrow, get it out then. And if it comes back next, you say, well, I just get tired. Brother, that's we're dying daily. We're in a fight to the finish over sin. I don't believe God wants us to finally just give in and say, ah, well, I can't overcome it. I'll just keep sinning in my life. I don't believe God wants us to do that. I believe you ought to keep fighting. If you fall 15 times this week, say, God, forgive me, and get up and try it again. Amen? God's not interested in finding a perfect person, but He wants somebody whose heart is perfect toward Him. That's a common sense view. But let me give you a second view. There is what we call the reverent view. Reverential view of the silence of God. Now what does that mean? Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and I'll show you what's called the reverential view of the silence of God. Now this is pretty good thinking for us as Christians. Now you might hear different preachers get hung up on any one of these, but I believe a Christian's supposed to look at it from all of these views. A reverential view. Look in Romans chapter 9, and I'll show you. Now the reverential view means this. It's simply this in a nutshell. How should we, little old puny finite beings, even question the Lord? If He wants to talk to me, all right. If He don't, all right. That's what's called a reverential view. Now, you understand that? That means that we say, I reverence God, and it's His business whether He ever wants to speak to me or not. If He wants to, fine. If He don't, fine. I'm not going to question Him. It's wrong for us little finite puny beings like us to question the Almighty on whether He wants to talk or not. And there's some good stuff in that belief. I don't believe people ought to, their attitude toward God shouldn't be, yeah, the old man upstairs, I talked to him and he wouldn't do it. I don't believe that's the right attitude to have toward God. Matter of fact, it makes me sick and mad when I hear somebody refer to Him as the man upstairs. He ain't a man. And He ain't upstairs. What is it? Romans 9:20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall this thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I mean, who do you think you are? Even questioning God for being silent. If He don't want to talk, that's His business. Amen. That's the reverential view. Let's turn back to Psalm 115. Let me show you another verse. Psalm 115. The men in the Bible held this view at least somewhat. In Psalm 115 and verse 3. Here's the reverential view. You say, well, Brother Danny, why'd this happen? Why'd that happen? I prayed and prayed. God's not fair. He didn't hear my prayer. You better watch your mouth, buddy. Look here what the Bible said. Psalm 115 and verse number 3. Verse 3. Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's what David said. Somebody said, why'd God do this? David said, because He wanted to. Somebody said, why didn't God do that? Because He didn't want to. Any more questions? He's God! He is God! Do you realize what those three letters are saying? G-O-D. Almighty! We have no right to question His motives or His decisions on things. He's God, people! He's God! He wants to make a sun shine all right. He wants to make it go out all right. That's the reverential view. He's like the lion in the forest. Somebody said one time, said, where's the lion sleep? The answer was, anywhere he wants to. That's what God is, brother. What's God do? God does what He pleases, that's what. Men, you better accept it and know that He's God and accept what He does. But then let me give you another view. There's what we know as the dispensational view. Alright? Which means this. Now, if you believe the Bible, you are a dispensationalist. I've heard people say, I'm not a dispensationalist. There is no such thing as somebody believes the Bible who's not a dispensationalist. If you are recognized there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, you're a dispensationalist. Amen? One's Old Testament, one's New Testament, different dispensation. There's no such thing as somebody that believes the Bible that does not believe in dispensation. Now, they may not believe in as many as others, but everybody believes that God works different ways in different times that believes the Bible. In the Old Testament, He made them bring sacrifices to the tabernacle. We don't bring sacrifice to the tabernacle now. See, that's a difference in what we know as a dispensation. Excuse me. Now, this is the dispensation of grace. And if you want to explain the silence of God by the dispensational view, you simply say it like this. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets. See, God in the Old Testament, boy, He'd come to anyone in a dream. He'd speak to old Samuel. He'd speak to Abraham. He'd speak to one of them fellas. He'd just talk to them. But then we move over into the age of grace. Jesus dies on the cross, and you know what happens 50 days after the Lord goes back to heaven? The Holy Spirit of God comes down. The New Testament writers finish their work. The Bible is complete. Now we got something we didn't have in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit as a permanent resident inside us, taking up His abode, leading us. We have the Word of God to tell us, and that means that in this dispensation, the way God talks to us is through His Word. See, that's what's known as the dispensational view. Now, there's some good in that too. There's some truth in that. Now, let me say this tonight. I told you this morning about a dream I had. I told you this morning about, but as far as God revealing anything, as far as His plans, as far as God revealing everything you need to know about God's right here in this book. Amen? I had some weird phone calls this past week. Now, some of these people that call me may be here tonight. And if I use you for an illustration, it's nothing personal. It popped in my mind, and I'm going to say it. Okay? I had no idea I was going to say this tonight, but I had some weird phone calls. Word got out about I was going to preach up the courthouse on the New Age movement, and I got phone calls Tuesday, stayed on the phone all afternoon. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, on a whole afternoon. First person called, and this fellow says, is this Danny Cavill? I said, yep. He said, I've got something you need to read. I said, okay, what is it? And he said, do you know that this man discovered this ancient manuscript and nobody's ever heard of it until 1928? And he's discovered this ancient manuscript. He said it tells us things about Jesus we never knew before. He said it tells us things about His life and the time when He lived. He said, you need to read this. It'd help you, you know, in your preaching. I thought, well, I sure need that. And he said this would help you and you could learn stuff. And I, you know, the whole time he is saying, something inside me is going ding, 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 ding. No, 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 no. I mean, little flags were going up, lights were flashing, and something was saying, he's a nut, he's a nut, he's a nut, he's a nut. You know, and he was nice. The man was nice. And he is saying, he's calling me brother. Of course, he cussed a little bit too, but he's calling me brother. And he said, brother Danny, you need this to read this and you need to read that. And you know, and I said, well, I'll take a look at it. And I said, but now listen, I'll tell you. I said, I believe that everything God wants us to know about Jesus is already in the Bible. He said, now listen, you're being a little bit narrow-minded, ain't you? And I said, well, I believe God preserved His Word and we've got it. He said, well, He preserved this too. And he said, we need this too. And I thought, well, how come nobody didn't have it till 1928? You reckon God's going to preserve it and not even tell nobody till 1928? I don't believe that. I said, everything God wants us to know about His Son is in the book. Hey, listen, folks, let's admit it tonight. Everybody in here, we know more Bible than we can live. Last thing we need some lost books of the Bible to tell us more things that's wrong with us. Amen. Anybody in here living up to these 66 books? When you get that done, come back and we'll go hunt us another manuscript. Amen. Yes, sir, brother. We don't need no new manuscript. We need to live by the old manuscript. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, that's about enough Bible for you for a while. Amen, brother. You don't have to go searching in the Dead Sea Scrolls or somewhere and hunt this or hunt that. I can give you enough verses in 10 seconds to keep you busy from now till next Sunday. Well, right after that, another lady, a female, and she began to talk to me. She said, "This is Mr. Castle." She said, "I'm just dying to know what you're going to talk about. Nothing personal. If you're here tonight, ma'am, God bless you. I love you." But I began to talk to her, and I said, "The New Age movement." And she had evidently had some history with channelers. About, you know what a channeler is? Everybody know what a channeler is? Somebody, it's a medium. It's an old-fashioned, new word for witch or a crystal ball, something like that. Now, out in Hollywood, they call them channelers now. Do you realize in Los Angeles alone, 10 years ago, there was only like 2 or 3 channelers, 10 or 15 years ago. Tonight, there's 1,000. You know why? That Sharon Gless that plays Cagney on Cagney and Lacey, when she won her Grammy Award, stood on television and said, "I thank Lazarus." You know who Lazarus is? He's the spirit that comes through her channeler to give her advice on how she can conduct her life. And thanked him. Now Lazarus is a demon. And this fellow named Jack Purcell with channels up Lazarus, and he offers seminars that you can come and get direction in your life from this demon Lazarus. Cost you $275 for the seminar. 600 or 700 people a week do it. He makes $250,000 a week channeling that. Not counting the videos, the home courses. You can call up Lazarus and hear him on telephone, put it on your Visa or MasterCard. And the lady told me, "I would love to go to California and sit and listen to a channeler speak so I could learn more about the Lord." She said, "What?" I said, "No, now, we've got plenty about the Lord in them 66 books in that Bible." And she told me this. She said, "But wouldn't it be exciting just to sit down and talk to somebody and see how the people lived and know who was his neighbors and how he walked around Galilee and so?" And I was thinking, anything but to face the truth, anything but face the issue, anything. What about where he said, "Take up your cross and follow me"? What about where he said, "If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you"? We better work on them verses, reckon? We don't need no channeler to help us out. Tell us more about the life of Jesus. Buddy, I'll tell you what. That book right there, if a person will read this book under the influence of the Holy Ghost, he'll show you more about the life of Jesus Christ than you can ever get talked about or wrote or printed or preached. Amen? That's the dispensational view shows us that God speaks through His Word. Somebody said, "Why don't God talk to me?" Here's 90 hours worth. Take it home, read it. "Why don't God say something to me?" Yeah, that's a good one, Roy. People say, I'd sure would like to know what God thinks about the world situation. Here's your seminar. 90-hour seminar right here, guaranteed to answer all your problems. See? The truth is, God has spoken, and we don't like what He had to say. So we want Him to say something else. We want Him to pat us on the back. We want Him to give us a new car. We want Him to do this and do that. Why is God silent? Because in the day we're living in, He speaks through His Word. Now I believe God can lay things on your heart. Hey, nobody can tell me tonight that God don't put thoughts in our head and influence us. I believe that tonight. But I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that God Himself has let me see things. Really. And no thing. But as far as God talking to me in an audible voice, I've got God talking to me right here. You better... This man said, "How do you know this fella? How do you know this fella ain't right?" And I said, "Because it ain't the Bible." And he said, "Well, he might be right." And I said, "Listen, if you go that route, we don't have no right to tell the Mormons they ain't right.
How do we know Joseph Smith didn't find them plates out there in the Mormon church? Listen, if you ever Tom, Dick, and Harriet discover something, if you say, well, he may be right. This lady, I said, what about that? Well, how do you know they're talking from God? She said, I believe you could feel it. Now, I don't know if you can feel it or not, brother. You've got this right here to judge what's right and what's wrong by. That's a ruler, see? That's scale. That weighs out everything. That weighs out everything. We as Christians don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. No matter what comes up, we just put it on the scales and check it out. We have a divine authority that never changes. And we know what God said about anything by measuring it according to His Word. I'll give you an example. God's done this before. You realize that the last prophet God spoke to closed out 2 Chronicles. And from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, God didn't say a word. 400 years of silence. When God closed out that... He's looking for the Messiah, and he's looking for the Messiah. And one day there come a voice in the wilderness. 400 years later, first part of Matthew. Behold! He's coming! He's coming! And it was John the Baptist. His voice pierced that night. And that day, out of that clothes, then had old leathern girdle on, and eat locusts, and had sackcloth, and chocolate-covered grasshoppers, no telling what, come out of there. And boy, come out of there saying, he's a-coming, he's a-coming, he's a-coming, he's a-coming, he's a-coming, he's a-coming. And then God started talking right and left again. He spoke to old Zacharias over there in the temple. The angel come and spoke to Mary and told her the baby's going to be born. He named him John. He told him about Jesus. Everybody said, man, where you been, Lord? The Lord said, I decided to leave him alone for 400 years, and now it's time for the first coming of Jesus. By the way, let me give you something that parallels with that about the dispensational view. You know it's been 400 years almost since he said anything? 1611. God ain't said nothing since 1611. Some of you ain't with me. You ain't with me. That's the year we got that book right there. That King James Bible, 1611. It's funny how the Lord decided to be silent another 400 years. According to that, it ain't going to be long until He's going to start talking again, though. And boy, when He starts talking again, somebody's going to come, He's coming! He behold, the bridegroom cometh! He'll come again. Boy, He'll have plenty to say. He'll have plenty to say one of these days. That's what's known as the dispensational view. But then let me give you another view. Number 4. That's known as the faith view. Faith view. John chapter 13. Turn to John chapter 13. Now, I ain't going to make a big issue on what I said there a minute ago. But I'm just giving you something good to think about. About 1611 of the year 2000, I don't know if God chose to do that way or not. But I wouldn't doubt it a bit. In John chapter 13, we see faith view. The faith view. John chapter 13 and verse number 7. We see tonight some reason why people, the silence of God. And it is the faith view. Look at me now. No talking, please. No talking. Teenagers, look up this way. Alright, faith view, John chapter 13 and verse number 7. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Sometimes we don't know what God's doing. Sometimes we don't know what He's up to. I never have been one of these people that claimed every second to know what God was doing. I'll tell you something else, nothing personal. I never have been one of these people that always claimed I was in God's will every second. I don't know about that. Now, I believe I'm in God's overall will for my life. I believe that. If I didn't believe that, I'd get in it. But I tell you what, brother, there's sometimes I don't know which way I'm going. There's sometimes when I'm wondering whether I'm making the right choices or not. And if you'd be honest tonight, there's a lot of times when you know what you got to do? You got to take the faith view and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I will know someday, and I'm just going to trust you with it. And just quit crying. He don't have to tell you everything He does. The Bible said in 1 Peter that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. I've heard people say, boy, if God wants me to do, He wants me to preach, He'll have to write it up in the sky. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to write it up in the sky. I found out that everything I've ever done, my call to preach, my beginning this church,
us building this building, us starting the camp. Every major step I've ever made, it would be, I'd be 90% sure it's God's will, and God would always leave that little bit of faith that I had to step out on. Every time. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I say, God, this is important. I want to know! The Lord always leads you. One, see, you got it. The Lord wants us to walk by faith. If He wrote everything He wants us to do out in the sky, there would be no faith to it. God always leaves that little 10% that you have to accept by faith. You know, when I was called to preach, I was 90% sure I was called to preach, but I've always had a little bit of doubt. You ever been there? I don't want to mess you up here tonight, but there's going to be times when your brain's going to question, well, am I sure? Am I positive? All right. That's normal. That's normal. There's where you got to accept by faith. Hadn't a little boy ever come to you and said, how do you know the Bible's really true? And you know it is, but hadn't there a boy said, how do you know you're really saved? All right. That's where God makes you walk by faith, see? We're walking by faith, not by feeling, not by sight. Listen, brother, you say, have you ever doubted your salvation? Sure I have. You know you're saved? Yeah, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I believe in what this book said. If I go by my feelings, sometimes I feel saved, sometimes I don't feel saved. Sometimes I act saved, sometimes I don't act saved. But if I go by faith in what the book said, I know I'm saved even though I don't believe it. Sometimes. Even though I doubt it, I know it's true, thank God. See, you know what that is? That's faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, by faith. All right, one more. And that is the mysterious works of God. Turn to John chapter 9, back a couple of chapters there. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've never doubted my salvation a moment since I've been saved. Congratulations. God bless you. I ain't saying you're a liar. But I'll guarantee you 98% of the people in here wouldn't agree with that. You got a brain, ain't you? Your brain questions everything. That's your flesh. That's humanity. I mean, it just built in. That's normal. But I'll guarantee you, I know I'm saved, and I know if you shot me dead in this pulpit tonight, I ain't a doubt in my mind where I'd go. That's my faith. Then my flesh comes up and says, oh, how do you know this? How do you know that? How do you know? Because we're living by faith. See? John 9:3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, what does that say? See, this man here was blind. And these people come up to him. They said, aha, he's blind. I bet he done something terrible, didn't he, that made him blind, Lord? Is either him or his mom and daddy one? Who did sin? This man or his parents? And, buddy, the Lord looked back at that crowd that day, and the Lord said, it ain't his fault, and it ain't his mama and daddy's fault. He said, the only reason this happened is so I could come by here and heal him today, and God could get glory out of it. You know what you call that view? You call that the mysterious works of God view. God does things so far and beyond our comprehension. We don't know what He's doing. God may be a... See, our little old mind, we automatically think, yeah, he done something bad when he was little, and God put his eyes out. His mom and daddy committed a terrible sin and got a disease and he went blind. That's why I did right there. God said, uh-uh. You know, we're awful bad for that. When something bad happens to somebody, we say, yeah, God's good. Unless we like them. If you don't like somebody and they have a car wreck, you say, yeah, I knew it. God is trying to tell them what I want to tell them. But if you do like them and they have a wreck, you'll say, poor old so-and-so, the devil just fights them all the time. You notice how you are, don't you? If it's one of your friends and somebody you really like, you say, it's the devil fighting them. If it's somebody you don't like, say, get them, God, get them, get them, God. I knew they was going to get it. It's like when something bad happens to me, I have some people say it's the devil fighting me. I have other people say it's God punishing me. I mean, I've had that all along. We're really ignorant to even make a judgment like that. If John gets pneumonia this week and gets put in the hospital, I'll have no right to say, yeah, I knew it. He got up there and messed up that Star Spangled Banner Sunday night and had the wrong, I knew God was going to get him. I don't have no right to do that. I don't have no right. I don't have no right to make a judgment like that. Well, that's God's business. That's God's business. Situation I'm in right now, every move I make, some people say God's a blessing me, some people say the devil's fighting me. They ain't, neither one of them knows what they're talking about. We don't know what God's doing. A lot of times, we don't know if it's a devil fighting, God punishing, God's chastisement, or what. We don't know. That's the mysterious works of God. Jesus said that man didn't sin and his mom and daddy didn't sin. He said, you don't even know why I let this happen. I let it happen so I could work a miracle and get glory to myself. That's the mysterious works of God. In conclusion tonight, let me give you three little words and I'll close. Conclusion number one, He is still there. When you cannot hear Him, hear me, child of God. When you can't feel Him, when you can't see Him, He's always there. God's never even got weak. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. His hand is not short that it cannot save. God can reach down tonight, hear your prayer, work miracles in your life just as good as He ever could. Did you know the sun's shining right now? It's cold and rainy. It may be snowing out there by now. But I tell you what, the sun's shining right now. Oh, it is not, preacher. It's dark outside. Just because you can't see it don't mean it ain't shining. There's little old Chinese babies with the sun in their eyes right now. That's right. They don't have to squinch like me and you do. Son, they got built-in sun visors. I never thought of that in my life till just then. The sun's shining, China, brother. Coming up. Beautiful day, beautiful day. Sun's shining. Like that one old fella. Some of them old people up in the mountains don't believe they really went to the moon. You know what? They don't believe they went to the moon. One old farmer, he watched it on TV. He said, oh, they didn't know astronauts didn't go to no moon. I went out and looked, and the moon wasn't even out that night. Now, the truth is, there was clouds up there. Now, the world's between us and the sun right now, and we can't see it, but it's shining. Don't you doubt it. Now, the world may be between you and the Lord tonight. And you may have 100,000 problems, and you may think God's deserted you. Buddy, He's still shining. He's on His throne tonight. He don't feel bad. He just is powerful as He was. Thank God that day that He opened up the Red Sea and let the children of Israel walk through. Same God. He's still on His throne. All right, number two in closing. Live according to the knowledge that God has given you. See, you got enough light to keep you busy. Psalm 46:10 said, be still and know that I'm God. Our pastor used to tell us, Nebo, and I didn't like it when he'd say this, but he'd always say, you ever heard anybody say, well, when you don't know what to do, just do something even if it's wrong. Well, that ain't good advice, is it? You ain't never supposed to do nothing wrong. Our pastor said, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. That's what he told us. I didn't like that. I thought, good night, let's do something even if it's wrong. And the pastor would say, no, when you don't know what to do, don't do nothing. And sometimes God wants you to just sit and be still and know that He's God. Our problem is we always need to be aware. Well, God, if I could just do something to help this situation, if I could just do something to work this out. Sometimes God wants you to don't do nothing but just sit there and wait on Him. That's the hardest thing you'll ever have to do, is sit and do nothing when you want to just put your hands on it and take control of that situation and try to pull strings and do this and that. Best thing for you to do is just sit back and wait on Him. Listen, if I'm standing out in the middle of the highway, a busy two-lane highway, and I'm right in the middle, see, and there's cars whizzing down this side and cars whizzing on this side. Which way's the best way for me to go? Neither way, right? I better just stand there until that traffic dies down. Well, I've got to make a decision here, Lord, which you don't have to make no decision. Here's my decision. Stand here till this traffic clears up. Well, you got to go one way or the other. No, you don't, neither. One step, boom, you're gone. Why did the Christian cross the road? You know? Number three, the last thing about the conclusion is keep on knocking. Keep on praying. be patient. Just as sure as there's clouds today, the sun will pop out tomorrow. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Sun will shine again. It'll be over. This dark tunnel you're going through, the silence of God will break. Have you ever envied some of these people come in and say, I was just praying the other night and the Lord showed me this and that. And you just think, good night. It's been years since I felt that. Or months or weeks. Just hang tight. Keep praying. Keep knocking. The sun's going to shine again. I heard a great preacher say one time, he said he went 7 years and never felt the presence of God one time. Not one time. Well, when he said that, I thought, oh, Lord, no. Surely not. And he said, I never felt God's presence. Preach every Sunday. I mean, keeping his daily routine up, witnessing, praising God, saying amen, preaching, going, witnessing, reading the Bible. Never felt God's presence one time in 7 years. He said, he's down praying one night. 7 years. Somebody just come in and just touched him on the shoulder like that. And there wasn't nobody there. And he said, oh, he's back. He's back. Sometimes when you think, God, what's wrong? God, how come I can't see you? God, how come you don't answer my prayers? God, just calm down now. Just take it easy. This is common. Everybody has to go through stuff like this. God's silent right now. But I promise you tonight, if you'll stay faithful and you'll keep on doing what you're supposed to do and you'll keep on witnessing and you'll keep on praying, he'll be back. Really, he ain't gone nowhere. But you think he has. He'll talk to you again. God will speak. Let's stand by our head. We're going to sing tonight. God's dealing with your heart. Maybe you've been kind of about half backslid and aggravated because God ain't talking to you. You need to just come down here and say, God, give me some patience. Which means you're asking for trouble, of course. But that's better than backsliding. And you just need to say, Lord, help me just keep my cool and you do whatever seemeth good. Whatever you think's best, God, that's fine. If you don't want to talk to me, that's all right. I don't deserve to be talked to. But I'm going to be faithful to you regardless. Heavenly Father, do something in our hearts and lives tonight. Lord, I know the world, they can't understand your silence many times. But Lord, we are not questioning tonight. We are not questioning your silence. Lord, we count ourselves lucky and blessed if you ever spoke to us again. God, we do pray that you'd have mercy on us. Have mercy on us and speak to us in these last days. Speak to us through thy word. Oh God, thou hast done to our fathers in days of old. When I think of all the old men of God like Martin Luther and John Bunyan, John Wesley and John Wycliffe and Peter Cartwright and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon and all them fellas, how they prayed and prayed. God, how you blessed them and showed them and led them. Lord, give us a little bit of that tonight. In mercy, God, give us a little bit of that tonight. Lead us, O Lord. Help us, O God. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O God. Be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name.